What's going on, everybody? I am Mick Manhattan, the Scene Snob. I'm here to talk to you about Kimball's Cookies. They've been our sponsor since the beginning, and we truly love them. They make custom cookies for every special occasion or holiday that you can think of. So order today, and you can order in sugar cookie, you can order chocolate. They have gluten-free options. They take care of you, and they're designed with love. I can tell you that for a fact. So check out Kimball's Cookies on Facebook, and when you order, use promo code SNOBS, and they'll give you 10% off your order. Thanks. What's up, everybody? It's the Scene Snob. I'm Mick Manhattan, and I'm here to talk to you guys about our awesome sponsor, Manscaped. They are the premier tool for your grooming downstairs. Summer's coming. Are you ready to unveil your beach bod? You're in luck. Our friends at Manscaped just launched their fourth generation performance package, which includes the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right. The 4.0 is here. Compliment your summer bod with a trim from the leaders in male grooming. The sun is shining. Call your name, guys. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped worldwide, including myself and all of the hosts here. And get ready for hot guy summer by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the code SNOBS, S-N-O-B-S, and they'll get 20% off of free shipping. So go check out Manscaped now. They have amazing stuff like the 4.0, the Weed Whacker, the Crop Shaver, and all of their deodorizers and everything else are truly, truly amazing. I wear their underwear. I think it's just fantastic. But don't take my word for it. Go check them out yourselves because they have plenty of stuff for everybody. So go to manscaped.com and tell them the Scene Snob sent you by using promo code SNOBS. And I'll talk to you guys later.
Welcome to the Scene Snob Podcast. I'm Scene Snob Junior. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Okay.
You know, and it was and I think that is the very long answer to your question.
That's fantastic. That's a great answer. Ross, coming right to you. What in being in a horror show on a small screen, how has it affected you? What's one of your favorite memories?
Oh, man. So I wasn't a Spanish teacher, but I was doing every other odd job under the sun. I was a cater waiter. I posed for art classes.
I did that.
You did that too?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
Naked?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
I did medical studies, so they tested non-FDA approved drugs on my body to make sure that they were okay for the mass public. I did that for many years. No, a lot of them were not. Actually, the last one I did was it was like right before I got on the show. Actually, it was like 7-8 years ago, and it was to test the efficacy of this drug that would treat MRSA, like really bad staph infection. If you get it after like 2 or 3 weeks, if it's not caught, you're going to die. And so this was meant to like jumpstart your immune system. And we were in the study for 30 days straight. It was like basically being in jail. I was like rooming with ex-cons, literally, like bunking with them. But like we were in there for 30 days straight. You were only allowed outside for 15 minutes a day to walk around. And they had this, sorry if anyone's squeamish, but we had like an IV in us 24/7, just dripping this stuff. And everyone dropped out except for me and this other person. Of the 20 people in the trial, there was only 2 of us left. And I had a red spot on my stomach for like 8 months after that. It was bad. They told me after the study, they're like, please don't drink for the next year. And I was like, what are you kidding me?
And the fact that you step it out to be the last two, what a battle of wills at that point.
When you're broke and you're desperate, you do dumb stuff, and I did some dumb stuff back then. But I guess my point is, like, you never know where your life is going to take you. And to what you're saying, too, is, like, I was so ready to give up so many times in my life, and then this show came along and really just saved my ass. So I'm very grateful. I mean, the notion that people want to meet me is like the weirdest thing ever. I'm still kind of baffled by like, you want to meet me in the picture? I was like, okay, cool. I mean, that's great, you know, but it's just still very awkward, you know, because I was very close to giving up just 7 years ago. So you never know what life's going to take you to, like, isn't it?
Yep, that's why you keep going on.
Yeah.
So we're all in it together. Hashtag.
Hey.
Brian, same to you, sir. So you obviously Charmed, huge show. Horror-ish, you know, it was definitely a horror show. dealing with witches, demons, angels. So how did it affect your life?
Well, I think like you, I was doing a lot of different jobs. Actually, the day I auditioned for Charmed, I was retrofitting a house, and I walked in, and you know, I had met Aaron Spelling a few times. So I had this keen idea that I was going to kind of lead the conversation, be like, "Good to see you again," you know, like remember me? And I said that, and he looks up, and he's like, "Oh, Brian, nice to meet you." And I, in this moment, I just had this like, nice to meet me? Like, he met me. And I was instantly pissed. I'm like, you know, this industry sucks. Everything about this sucks. I'm working construction. This whole thing, I have to stop. Like, I have to stop chasing this dream, right? This is stupid. And I gave this reading that was like so not Leo, like this angry, they're like, "Are you ready?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's go. Blah, 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 blah." And I said, "Is that it? Are you done? Is that it? Okay, thanks." And I just walked out. And they called me about an hour later and said, "You got it." And, you know, my life changed. And, you know, like, yeah, it's amazing that, you know, it's that letting go of caring so much, but at the same time, you know, doing it. I mean, it's life-changing. You know, it's a goal that I always had. And, you know, for it to come true, it's just, I mean, dreams come true. You know, we're just regular people with an idea of wanting to do something. And, you know, the fact that it happens is, you know, it's kind of out of our hands, but at the same time, you know, pushing that energy and believing and magic happens. And, you know, so the whole run of the show is really a fond memory of, you know, the family that you make, from the crew to the cast members to, you know, the tears of, it's, you run the gamut of emotions. So it's, you know, it's amazing because I was this close to just walking away and, I don't know, doing construction for the rest of my life, like, you know, maybe taking a Spanish class. I don't know. So it's, you know, the whole thing's a, you know, just very, very grateful. You know, I feel blessed.
That's fantastic. Yeah. We're blessed to have been able to witness all of you. So we're here for that. Does anyone have any questions or anything they'd like to bring up to our panelists? Any stories? Anybody curious? Negative. All right. Cool. Always just checking. Just make sure. Now, what was one of the... For me, personally, I've been through some things, and I'm always curious as to what other people get scared by. So what are some of the scariest things, or one of the scariest things that pops in your head that has happened on set to you?
Well... I can't say in what, but I thought I was going to be blind a week ago today. Yeah, true story. Yeah, I was injured on set, and you'll see it on TV soon. I'm not saying I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything, but you'll see it, and you'll be like, I heard about that, but I basically had a prosthetic eye, and it was an effect where there was like basically a keg of blood that came up through my backside. You know, not.
It's a different story.
Yeah.
Was this human centipede?
Anyway, there was like tubing that kind of went underneath the eye and then was to, you know, squirt out. And it went great for the camera, not so much for me. It kind of pooled underneath this piece. And I'm not sure if it was not supposed to or not, but there was basically my eye wasn't securely shut underneath this piece. So I could kind of flutter it underneath. And I mentioned to the makeup people, like, you know, I could feel this stuff sort of sloshing around underneath there. Like, is that normal? You know, and they said, well, let's just try to, you know, sop that up. So they basically made a little incision in my in the piece. And it's a hilarious video where you basically see a Q-tip just kind of going into my head and coming out with, like, fake blood. And they would do that until it was clean. And which was great, although we don't know if it was like the chemicals inside that were sloshing around that burnt my cornea, or if it was the Q-tip that just like, you know, grazed it. But I got an abrasion on my cornea and it was insanely painful. And this happened halfway through the day and I still had 9 hours of shooting left. Thankfully at that point I hit my marks and I was just, you know, dead at that point because I literally couldn't see. Like I couldn't see. So, which is fine. I didn't need to see to be dead. They just needed to place me, but it was really bad. I was, I literally thought I was going to lose my eyesight and it was, kind of scary.
Yeah.
To,
it's pretty terrifying.
To answer the question. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really terrifying. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to deal with eyesight.
I have made a full recovery. So yeah, you would not even recognize me.
Yeah. Fantastic. Wow. Yeah. That is really terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It
Ross, I'm sure you've dealt with prosthetics. So
listen, that sounds really rough, but I got a paper cut one time on set.
Did you happen to get citrus in it?
It hurt so bad, and yes, I did.
Oh, truth. Nope.
It hurt really, really bad. So top of that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't top that story. That's amazing. I mean, like, I don't want to top that story. That's
no, you
terrifying.
Don't.
Like,
yeah.
No, I mean, that's awful.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
That felt like,
I mean, it's not a competition.
It sounds like it is a competition.
I think she only won. I don't even know.
It has to get progressively worse.
You're going to need to start the questions down there.
Yeah, clearly. My bad.
No, I don't have anything like that. That's your arm. Oh, that's true. I did lose my arm a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah.
So that was harrowing.
The new one looks great.
Thank you so much. I put some ointment on it and grew right back.
Delightful.
It's all those trial drugs I gave you.
New limbs. But no, I don't know.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I think the scariest thing that ever happened, I did this movie years ago in Wells, New York, and it's Wellesley School. It's supposed to, the whole town is supposed to be haunted. And of course, you know, we're doing this five actors in a one room movie, and we all decide to get a Ouija board and go up to the attic and mess with it. So I don't do devil stuff. I don't do any of that stuff. And Ouija boards freak me out. But we're there, and we're sitting there. And there's a mattress like leaned up against the wall. And we're over here. And in the middle of it, this mattress just falls over. Like this way, which it didn't slide down. It fell over. And we Scooby-Dooed it. And we were out of there. So we get up the next morning. My buddy's like, dude, we should go see like what caused that. I'm like, I ain't not go back in the attic. He's like, come on, let's go. And we go up there, right where we're sitting, there's three dead birds.
Oh.
One that's like all still feathered, and one that's like all gashed, and one that's like a skeleton. Like three different stages of death that weren't, it's like right where we were sitting. And man, if we didn't just leave, and I mean, that stuck with me forever. Like, I don't play with Ouija boards. I don't touch them. I don't look at them. I don't do any of that. And I was probably like on set, like scary. Like, I wasn't injured. I could see the dead birds. So, but man, scary. Ouija boards. I know some people are into it. But I don't know, man. Freaky.
The birds is the part.
The birds.
Yeah, it's a really strange follow up there.
And I was thinking, like, well, maybe somebody put them there, you know, knowing to mess with us. And I'm like, well, nobody's been up. We were there, we went out, we came back.
It's a really elaborate joke.
Yeah. I'm like, is there a cat messing with us? Like, you know, I don't know.
Cat's like pushing that.
ghosts and what I got, devil stuff and Ouija.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you're into it. Oh, yeah, no.
It was me.
So that was probably the scariest exact thing that didn't involve an injury, just emotional harm.
They could still be an injury, just because you can't see it. Now, for Naomi,
mm-hmm.
out of all of the seasons of AHS you're on, how does the tone change in shooting each season, considering they deal with different worlds of horror? So for you, like your character changes and the what you have to go through with each season changing, mm-hmm. what's that like? What's the evolution of that for you?
I mean, yes, every season does have a different tone, but I don't think that really it can affect the way you approach a character. But in my case, in terms of like Pepper, she's the same person from one season to the other. So just because Asylum was a little darker and Freak Show was a little more, you know, colorful and maybe more humanity-ish, that doesn't change me. You know what I mean? Like, Pepper's Pepper. You know, just like Naomi is the same whether, well, you know, we're in pandemic times or before time. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
So, I mean, I was having to think about, yeah, okay, well, this is Pepper in the asylum. This is 16 years before at the, at the orphanage. Like, so yes, that will affect the character, but the tone of the show didn't affect her. And honestly, when I came back for Apocalypse, I played a different character, but I mean, they just threw me in there. I didn't even know what the theme was of the show when I was coming in. Like, it was one of those things where I was having to watch the fan, you know, Facebook tubes, because I didn't know either. Right. So we're not really aware of the tone. You know, the directors and, you know, the writers and producers are obviously, and I'm probably the series writers, unfortunately, it was not one of them, but I don't even think they know. I think it's really just the creators that are in on those tone meetings, and we're the last to find out, honestly.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't know.
No, absolutely. I appreciate that. Thanks for the answer. For Ross, playing Aaron from when we first met him until now, how do you prepare the character going into new seasons? Sorry, because the character has been through so much. So like every time, every season growing so much, and especially with a show that's gone on this long and you've been such a massive part of it for so long. So how do you take that in?
It's wild because I was showing the first episode to a friend recently because she'd never seen the show and she actually didn't know I was on the show. I hadn't seen her for 12 years, a friend from college, and we reunited. She was like, wait, what do you work on? I'm like, oh, it's the Walking Dead. And she's like, oh, I've never seen that. I'm like, cool, all right. And, you know, I showed her an episode, and I looked at that guy from 2014, clean-shaven and, like, obviously much more innocent and everything. And I'm like, man, that guy, not only Aaron, but I think myself, too, like, such a different shift. I mean, I think so many things have shifted for that character. He's been through so much. And I love that they're giving him more darkness and more shit to go through because of stuff to go through. Because I think it's more fun. It's more fun to play people that are either villains or just complex characters that are like wrestling with guilt and shame and, you know, adversity. I think those are always way more fun to play. So I love that he's been through as much as he has because it's more me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you for your answer.
Of course.
Yeah. Brian, now with your seasons and your years with your show, how did you feel you were able to progress your character through that and how you came out on the other side? Like what you learned from years of being on a popular hit.
I was just trying to stay alive. Like every guy that came on to Charm, if you watch it, like came in, died, went away. So, you know, at the end of every season, I was always kind of cliffhanger. Like, is he going to die? Is he coming back? So, you know, I had no idea if I was coming back or not. They're like, you are. I'm like, well, then why did you freeze me and die? I'm dead at the end of the last episode of every freaking season. So literally was just trying to stay alive. You know, I mean, Leo's Leo. I was the angel. So I think the through line for my character the whole time never really changed, you know, protecting the girls, protecting my family, protecting my wife, my children. You know, which was nice for me, being a dad with a young boy at the same time. Is, you know, it was nice to be the guy with the good moral message and, you know, the protector. Not much progression. I mean, episode to episode, it always changed because, you know, you're possessed by a demon or this came in or now you're a gremlin or whatever happened. So, you know, we would always have an arc every episode. But season to season, I think you know, I was the guide, the protector. So, and that really never changed for Leo, really.
Thank you very much for your answer. I appreciate it. Now, once again, being in these popular television series and popular shows, how has this changed all of your names in the industry? Like, do you feel it's given you more clout? Is horror maybe not the avenue that people think it is for the projects you're looking for? Or, you know, so Naomi, start with that.
How has it changed my name? Well, I prefer Queen. No, I'm kidding.
Sorry,
oh,
Queen.
Oh, yes.
I mean, yeah, it has. No, but you're right. It's weird to me because I used to be Profesora. And I'm not anymore. But I also was mostly known for, or not known, I should say, for doing comedy. Like I did, I was at the Groundlings, which is a comedy theater in Los Angeles. A lot of, you know, SNL people came out of there. It was kind of the kind of factory where, you know, Kristen Wiig was there while I was there and Melissa McCarthy was there while I was there. And, you know, and it was one of those things where I would perform every Sunday, like kind of hoping Lorne Michaels might be in the audience. And anyway, but that was the trajectory I kind of had in mind. And so the fact that they're like, oh, you do comedy? I'm like, really? Like, have you met me? You know what I mean? So it's weird that people don't know this, what I thought was like the most obvious thing about me, which is cool. Cause I feel like it's my superpower. Like it's this thing that I get to like, oh, and and there's this, which is neat.
Yeah.
You know, I've been working over the pandemic on a new show, which I've written, it's my baby. And I'm excited to see where that goes, but it's a chance for me to kind of marry it all, because it's definitely a love letter to fans and to the show, but it also is hilarious. So people are gonna, you know, finally get to see
your truth
behind the prosthetics. Yeah,
that's fantastic, Ross.
How has it changed? So I mostly did a lot of like voiceover, like animation stuff, and impressions, you know, back in the day. And that's funny because like I actually auditioned for SNL, didn't get it, obviously, and that was part of the reason why I wanted to give it back, because I was like so dead set on getting SNL, and I never thought I would wind up on a dark zombie show, you know, like that was, I mean, and I don't know if you remember me telling you this, but like my first ever gig in the industry was as your body double. Do you remember me telling you this? So like I was an extra. And I was about to stop doing extra work, and then Central Casting called me like, "How tall are you?" I'm like, "Ah, 6 foot." I'm like, "Yeah, you're about Brian Krause's height." I'm like, "Okay." And then I went there, and they approved. They went with me and six other guys, and they're like, "Yeah, you'll do." And I did like 3 or 4 episodes, and I got my SAG card. And
from Charmed.
From Charmed. Yeah. And then I was like, "Bye." All I wanted was that SAG card, and I was doing extra work for like 2 years. I just want the SAG card. I just want the damn thing. And then I got the thing, and I was like, I'm done. I can do an extra work. But yeah, it was playing his body double.
Did you have to do like naked stuff? I don't know.
My butt is amazing. Thank you.
No.
It is.
Yeah, no.
New model, don't forget.
Right.
No, there was a lot of scheduling stuff, I guess. So, like, you know, sometimes
Brian was too busy to like,
well,
turn around.
Sometimes, like, there was just stuff like they needed to film a lot of stuff simultaneously,
right.
And they would have me and other bodybuilders come in and just like, yeah. So it's weird. Yeah, I mean, that was like 2005. Yeah, weird. But
that's
anyway,
incredible.
It's just weird. You know, I think we all have like kind of similar stories, like the trajectory of our lives. You don't have any idea what's coming around the corner until you just live it.
Yeah.
So you just keep going, and I mean, I don't know what the lesson is, because it's not never give up. It's like, there were certainly times where I definitely gave up and wanted to just run away from Hollywood altogether, but I don't know. It's I just want to keep doing it as long as it's fun,
yeah.
As long as it's not bad for my mental health.
Yeah. That's the most important part.
Exactly.
Yep, if you enjoy doing it, you're making money.
Yeah.
All happen, and you're entertaining a lot of people, so it's fantastic. Now, Brian, you were, same question to you. How has it kind of changed your trajectory, like, or what... What focus did you think you were going towards? What path were you headed?
You know, it's funny. Even when I started, you know, I did the Return of the Blue Lagoon, which was like, and you know, that changed everything. Like, oh, you're the naked guy in the Blue Lagoon movie. You can't act, you can't anything, right? And then I got Sleepwalkers, and then it was like, oh, you're a horror guy, but you're in films. And then I did some commercials and some TV stuff. And it's like, oh, well, you ruined your film career. You know, and there's always this ideology and that Hollywood is judging you for what you do, right? So then I went from there and it didn't work for a bit, and I did a soap for 6 months. And it's like, oh, you're a soap guy. You're, yeah, right? And then did some TV guest spots. Oh, he's a TV guest spot guy. And then I get Charmed, and now I'm Leo. And, you know, that's been a big thing with casting. It's like, oh, he can't come in. No, he's Leo. You know, I'm this nice guy, like this, I'm Leo. And that's changed, you know, what I've been able to go in for and what I get brought in for quite a bit. You know, typecast, I don't know what that is, but I think every time, you know, you do this little sci-fi movie, you do this thing, this little horror, and, you know, I think the industry seems to peg us as this more than the audience. You guys, you know, we want to see people do all sorts of roles, right? But our industry seems to be like, oh, well, he's the horror guy, or she's dramatic, she's not a comedian, she's, you know what I mean? And they put us in these holes, and then we start to believe it. And I think just like you, like this last year, like, you know, wanting to give up, like, you know, getting really close on these roles that, you know, I want, recurring, this is going to change my life. And then I didn't get it. And I'm like, now my life is over. And I hate me. And I'm the worst. And maybe it's over. It's over. In a pandemic. And I'm stuck in my house with my kid. And it's like, you know, I'm like, maybe it's done, you know. And I go through that quite a bit. You know, not getting a role, not doing a thing. You know, I'm Leo. And, you know, how do you break out of that? And it starts with, you know, me, really, just believing and saying, you know, screw it. Everything that's happened in the past is the past. And, you know, you just got to somehow keep going forward. But it's changed. You know, it's trying not to be the same over and over. But then, you know, you look at some actors, like, they make that niche work. Like, I'm that guy, and they keep the same haircut for 30 years, and, you know, they sell their brand, right? And I don't know that that's me or anything, but, you know, so I'm growing the hair and trying to get tough. Like, yeah, I'm going to be a tough guy. You know, and then I'm like, what? I don't really believe it. I don't know if that's me. Right? You know? So, you know, I go through this whole thing. I'm an actor. What do you want? You know, I beat myself up a lot. Believing what other people may have a idea of us. And I was having this conversation last night, and it was, you know, that oftentimes we believe what we, you know, I'm thinking about what you might be thinking about me.
Exactly.
Right? So I'm projecting onto myself what you're not even thinking, but what I think you might be thinking. And we do that in our industry a lot. Like, oh, they don't like me because of my hair, because I don't have abs, because I didn't do this. And, you know, we're sitting here beating ourselves up for something that nobody's even really thinking, because everybody's really just thinking about themselves, right? I mean, that's truth be told, right?
Well, like, constantly.
You know, we're all just thinking about our own world. So, but, you know, as an actor, I think we take that all on and, you know, like, oh my gosh, they must hate me because my hair, because my thing, my stuff. And, you know, I do it a lot. And, you know, this is kind of the process I've been learning through the pandemic. It's like, you know, none of it matters. None of it matters. I love me, and that's all that matters.
That's the most important thing.
So,
it's so valuable.
Typecast me. Let me be Leo. I don't give a rat's ass. And I'm just going to keep going forward. So the fact that I'm able to play Leo and that was a thing or whatever that is, then great. I'll be Grandpa Leo someday.
I relate to that, too, because, I mean, there were so many people who were like, yeah, but, okay, but let's say she's a pinhead. Like, what are we gonna do with that? I'm like, literally, I can do anything.
Right.
Like, that's just one thing. Like, I've never done it before. Probably never do it again. Like, am I supposed to be like pigeonholed into this one little thing? Like, I'm literally. So that's why I got that exact same thing. People saying, you know, like, but what else can she do? It's like. Did I not just show you, like, I can literally do anything? I mean,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So I'm kind of, personally, I'm kind of trying to, like, lean into that. Like, oh, if you didn't notice, I'm a character actor. So, like, pretty much, like, what kind of character do you want? Oh, you want a fat, retarded one with a bald head and, like, a, you know, yeah, sorry, that's a bad word, but you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But streaming, I'm canceled.
Not at all.
But you know what I mean?
No, like, I know exactly what you mean. It's a physical condition.
Yeah.
But the point being, you can play any role, and that's where the trajectory
is. We're actors!
Yes. Exactly, yeah, precisely.
Read it.
That's fantastic.
It's frustrating.
Well, of course. Of course it's frustrating. I mean, who doesn't get frustrated constantly gathered to be torn down?
In every job. In your normal job. Bob's been the cashier the whole time. Do we really think we can move him into management?
Yeah.
You know, whatever that is. You know, we all get people pigeonhole everybody in almost every job. You know, he's the truck driver. I don't know if he can get by in there and actually run the show or, you know, and people, they see what you do and they think that's all you can do. And until we get a chance to prove them, you know.
Unfortunately, yeah, it's constantly proving yourself, but it's more important to already have proven it to yourself, I think, is the point. That you need to just verify and trust in yourself. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great message, everybody. We got real deep here, y'all. Mm-hmm. This is awesome.
It's like
dig it, right? Yeah, this is a post-COVID. This is what
everybody
happens. You're all, yeah, we're going to group hug later. Don't worry. This is going to be a big thing. I know, right? Now, are there any characters, sticking to bring it back to horror a little bit,
okay,
are there any characters within this genre you would like to play specifically? In its entirety?
Well, I feel like, I don't know if it's horror, I feel like there's going to be an Epstein biopic.
Oh, yeah.
I need to play Ghislaine Maxwell.
So perfect.
I mean, not with this humidity. I don't even know who I am right now, but I can totally look like her, for better or worse. I feel like I've got an Amy Winehouse in me.
Strong.
Right? I think I like to play Hillary Clinton. You know, I don't know if the world wants to see that, but I don't know. I think, I feel like there's some real life characters out there that I'd like to see.
Yeah, that's great. And we could definitely tie the Epstein to horror.
Yes.
That's
a- yes.
I've always wanted to play Leatherface.
Oh,
that'd be a lot of fun. And just like going back into like the origin of those guys. And also the Shining. If they ever do like a Shining reboot, that would be.
Be Jack Torrance.
Jack Torrance. I got the face down.
Ooh, strong.
Killing people left and right. You know, break up the baseball bat.
That's fantastic. Dig it. That's great. Yeah, right? Yeah, right?
You know, any sort of villain. Like, I don't get a chance because I'm Leo, right? I just don't even get to audition for it or try for it. Is being, you know, the bad guy, the villain, you know, be a vampire, be whatever. You know, I like to pretend murder people.
Well, that's
which
how
I've
we
done
don't.
Once or twice, I know.
That's how we don't real murder people.
You know, being some kind of serial killer is kind of my deal. I watch a lot of Forensic Files.
Yeah.
Like a lot. Like, I fall asleep to it. You know, man, I could probably be a Dahmer, you know, I don't know. Come on in, how are you? You know, I feel like I have that little creepiness there.
It's in the bag. Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing later? I think playing some kind of serial killer villain is just be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, not fun, but it'd be fun.
And now within the horror genre, was there anything growing up that you specifically attached to? Anyone that you were like, oh, that was my jam?
You know, I am late to the game. First off, so my parents were like uber cultured. We watched exclusively because, you know, television rots the brain, which is why I've dedicated my life to it. We watched exclusively Sunday Morning with Charles Carroll and Cosmos was Carl Sagan. Yeah. So it was like just real, like absurdly highbrow and cool. But consequently, while other kids are out, you know, drinking and smoking, I was like hiding sitcoms, you know, like sneaking the Cosby Show, which is creepy on its own. But anyway, so there's like all of this television that I just miss. Like people are like, who are you? Like, why do you know like Baroque composers of 1600 and you don't know, you know, Leo from Charmed? You know what I mean? Like, it's like there's all this, yeah, I'm terrible at like pop culture. Oh, I'm great at like, you know, well, certain categories I really kill and then others I'm, yeah.
Well, then if not on actual television or movie, was there any books or anything?
So I did not see horror. For the longest time. And so I know I didn't like grow up with it. It's obviously horror has embraced me. And because we actors are so insecure and desperate for love, because you love me, I love you back, you know, and besides, I'm not going to, you know, bite the hand that feeds me. But so, yeah, no, I've come around and I, you know, I would say my favorite horror movies, though, are like The Rosemary's Baby and The Shining and Clockwork Orange and The Birds and sort of a little more
thriller, less slashy.
Yes, definitely. I don't love gore. Maybe more vintage kind of classic horror would be my choice.
Fantastic.
But anyway, that's only literally like I'm allowed to see it now. I can watch whatever I want.
I'm free.
I'm a big girl.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate it. Ross?
Rosemary's Baby and The Shining are two of my favorites, but Jacob's Ladder. Not a lot of people talk about it, which is funny because like, I think that's Tim Robbins' best performance. I love that movie so much. And who's Danny Aiello? Oh my God. Danny Aiello in that is like, have you seen it? Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Am I allowed? Am I old enough?
No.
Are my parents
watching?
Like,
it's
weird.
Is Adrian Lynn, right?
It's
Trey. I think Adrian Lynn. But like, it's one of the most bizarre, nuanced, like, strange films that just came out of nowhere. And I think it was like 1990 or somewhere in there. And it's just amazing. If you have a chance, Jacob's Ladder is awesome. But yeah. It's like, I like psychological horror. I don't, it's funny because I work in The Walking Dead, but like, even though we have crazy gore on that show, I don't love gore. I just don't. Like, I like horror that gets in your head and makes you think for months and months after.
Well, because, yeah, then you're stuck and you still have to go to sleep and do the same thought.
If it's gore, you're like, oh, that was awful and visceral and that was gross, but like, it doesn't like stick with you as much.
Right.
I think the psychological horror is the best kind of
scary.
Yeah. Thank you for that answer, Brian.
Well, I think I told you yesterday, you know, I watched The Exorcist as a child, and, you know, it really changed my life. I couldn't watch the horror and scary movies ever. And I couldn't. I would. I still can't. I'm the guy that turns and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to watch this. Like, and then I'll just pace in my bed. Can't stop watching it. You know, the lights are on. Like, can't go to bed now. So, you know, I'm more into the thrillers and stuff. But, you know, all of it still just. And I'm an actor. Like, it's like, duh, this is fake blood, fake person, fake thing. And I'm just in it. Like, so I try to stay, you know, pretty much away from it. And, you know, I can't do devil movies. I can't do possession movies. You know, I need a little more, if I'm going to do horror comedy with it, you know, like lots of blood. Oh, shit, you know. But
the
I
absurd
like
spray that's too fast and too far. Everybody.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that was funny. Murder. He's not really possessed. So, yeah, I didn't watch a ton of it because I got freaked out and it scarred me. I want to thank my dad for that. You know, that's why I'm an actor. I need a hug.
Once again, the group hug thing later. So that's coming.
This is why I played an angel.
It's that angelic face, right?
Yeah,
We have a question.
Oh, we have a question. Yes, sir.
I'm just wondering, who does a better Christopher Walken impression, the moderator or Ross?
Christopher walking it off.
Wow, you're just. Oh, I think we're gonna leave. I was like,
oh, we have.
We asked the question and mic drop.
Yeah. We have a plant. Awesome.
Wow, let's hear it. What do you got?
I don't know. It's okay. Every once in a while, just talking here with you guys is fantastic.
Guys, how are we? We feel good.
Everyone here's looks so good.
About walking, you just have to talk very slow and then very fast and go gravelly and then, I don't know, what are you doing?
I'd say it's strong. The guy, he knows his stuff. You know, he's been around for a minute or two. So you just, yeah, there's a champion over here. I gotta give it to him. What do you guys think, Ross? Right, everybody. Oh, yeah, great. Thank you to my partner. So next question. Naomi, you brought up a little bit about what you have coming up and upcoming projects. Is there anything else you've got coming up that you want to talk about, that you're very excited about, that you want people to hear about?
Well, you already know there's things I can't talk about.
My blood pulling in the eye.
I think what I can talk about is this show, because I own it. It's mine. It's called American Horror Story, with a W. It's a anthology series of autobiographical tales of self-compromise. So now you know I'm not just using it like as a kitschy, cute, you know, because it's close to the, you know, original. It's actually about that, you know, hustling. So I have two other solo shows that I did prior to this one, which did very well in their own way. Like, they went to the Edinburgh Fringe and London's West End and off Broadway. But, you know, since then, I'm not a Spanish teacher. And so I'm hoping to go much bigger with this. You know, I'm hoping that we'll all be Netflixing and chilling and watching it as a 1-hour comedy special. That's my plan.
That's
for
fantastic.
It. So, but fantastic. I what do I do?
Oh, well, I hope for the best. That's all you can do.
Yeah.
Keep pushing and keep
how
going.
How funny is it?
Oh, well,
how funny is it?
You can tell me, Linda. Yeah, you were there. You watched. I gave her. This is my dear friend from Los Angeles, actually, but who lives here now.
But I don't want to make a point is that what she's done is say, okay, I am really funny and I'm good at these other things, so I'm going to make it happen for myself, and I'm not going to wait for Hollywood to come knocking and say, gee, we know we pigeonholed you, but now we're going to give you carte blanche. She's doing it.
That's fantastic.
See, I had a plant too.
This is great. Where's Ross's? Like, we got so many plants coming
right?
up.
Where's my family member? Yeah.
So, Ross, what do you got coming up?
So, I'm going to be in the new Star Wars movie. I'm totally joking.
Oh.
He's kind of wild. He's pushing for it.
He's got so
jealous.
I'm like, you are?
He's in the beat.
Oh, my God, Simon.
Yeah. We can't talk about anything we do in this industry anymore. It's like, I remember, you did Mad Men. And I did an episode of Mad Men, and I remember, I'll never forget this, like, I told Facebook that I auditioned for the show, and that got me in so much deep shit, and they were like, you can't say that. I mean, it was crazy, and so I've just learned from that experience, like, and I never respected, they're trying to keep the privacy and everything, but, like, I just learned from that, like, do not say anything, because you sign away your life on these things, and they can sue you, so you're just like, I mean, I wish I could say stuff that I'm working on, but I can't, you know? There's one thing that I'm working on that's really cool, but I can't talk about it, but really just the show is kind of taking over my life, so.
I mean, totally understandable.
Yeah,
it is huge. When
so,
you're in epic things, I assume it takes epic amounts of time.
It's 14 months of shooting for the last season, so it's gonna be a long, long, long.
How many episodes?
24.
Wow.
Yeah, so we're doing
the new 24. You're in the new 24.
So and Star Wars.
Yeah.
And this. No. We're doing
sign this and this.
We've doing Step Brothers too. Oh, the two of us. It's gonna be awesome. You're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. No, I mean that's just the show. Pretty much, that's it.
Yeah.
Not in Star Wars. yeah, I'm going to film a movie next week. It's a small thing a friend wrote. That's why I'm going to go full mullet. So
what's
I'm going for it, man. Like, why not? Right?
It's awesome.
Why not? I rocked it in the late '80s, and I'm kind of going to go back to it because, you know.
Why not?
I got girls. I just had a show that came out on Roku. I don't know if you guys watch Roku. It's called Cypher. It's a crime drama, FBI drama, like kind of a whodunit. That just came out. And besides that, it's, you know, audition, job to job, and trying to love myself.
Well, now that we're out of COVID, it sounds like a lot of things are moving forward, and that's fantastic. And I hope all your projects moving forward are wildly and incredibly successful. So hope for the best for that. Does anyone have any questions? Last checks. All right, now we're talking.
Yeah, 24. Oh.
So, for Naomi,
uh-huh.
Do you think Freak Show, the episode Orphan, really touched me? What was the most difficult scene for you to film?
I think probably the last one, only because the things that make you cry the first day of shooting are different than the things on the 10th day of shooting. You know what I mean? So you start, at first I would just open the script and read 30 seconds worth, and I was like, let's go, you know? And then, you know, now I'm thinking about when my dog died, and now I'm thinking about like a fictitious dog if I had it. You know, it's like by the end, I think I was just like crying because I was tired. It's just not the thing. Let's face it, Jessica Lange is like just a geyser who was having to cry on cue every day of her last 4 years. You know what I mean? Whereas I was, for the first, 6 months leading up to that, like, you know, playing the string and delivering the Fat Lady food. And, you know, Pepper was kind of, you know, a not background player, but she wasn't, Elsa Mars. She wasn't in the front center. And so all of a sudden to be front and center and knowing that I needed to suddenly be a geyser without, you know, having done that in a while. I won't say never. I once got caught in an interview saying that I'd never done drama before I, you know, auditioned for American Horror Story. And of course, then that's when my whole, you know, college came after me like, what are you talking about? We were theater majors. We did, you know, Chekhov episode. Like, we did all the drama. Like, so, you know, it's not that I hadn't done that. I just, it had been 20 years. So I think, finding tears after you've exhausted all your means to find them. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And we had one more.
Yeah.
My question is for all three of you guys. If you could choose another character to swap places with on your show, who would it be and why?
Awesome question.
I think I would say, well, if a character, Myrtle Snow, for her wardrobe. I've always loved her look. But that said, I probably would also swap all the roles that Frances Conroy plays. She, I don't know what it is. She's she plays such cool, quirky, complex characters. You know, they're never just, well, none of the characters on American Horror Story are all good or all bad. You know, they're all kind of multi-layered. That's what's so kind of genius about them. But I feel like she somehow, I don't know if she makes them amazing or if they are amazingly, you know, well, she does make them amazing. But also I think they're really great on the page. So, yeah, I'd just be Frances Conroy.
That's fantastic. Thank you. Ross?
I usually say Shane because I just love what John Bernthal did with that performance, and I just think it's always more fun to play, like you're saying, complex, multi-layered characters who are a little bit bad. And I think Shane kind of wrote that fine line of like, is he good? Is he bad? You know, who can say? And maybe Apocalypse, you know, you got to do stuff to survive. But I also would love to play Abraham, because Abraham had the coolest lines. Like, Aaron's very nice. He's a very nice guy. He always is like, oh, yeah, well, here's this, and I'm going to show you around. And, you know, that's great. But, like, he had to say, like, bitch nuts. You know, I'm like, I never got to say bitch nuts. Like, I'm just, like, very, like, polite all the time. And I just would like some cool, dark lines, I guess. Yeah. So.
But they're both dead now, so.
That's true. Right. Right.
Thanks, Ross. Brian, what you got?
Probably Piper, you know, because she married Leo. You know, I love myself endlessly. Balthazar, you know, Julian McMahon's role of playing the devil, good guy, bad guy, what he did with it is so interesting. As you know, he's gone on to show after show, but you know, the devil, kind of a sexy role, dangerous, but not, you know, it would have been fun. But definitely Piper.
That's fantastic. Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. So that's going to wrap up our panel for today. So we thank you very much. Let's give it up for everybody. Make sure to go visit. You got Brian, Ross, Naomi. Go visit them out there. If you haven't had a chance to get something signed or hang out with them for a bit, go over there and check them out. We appreciate it. Thank you all so much for everything you do and everything you've given us.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Fun.
And that's our show, everybody. Thanks for listening or watching, wherever you're checking it out. This show is brought to you by our sponsor, Manscaped. Go check them out. They are saving our balls, and they can save yours too, or somebody you care about. That's a pretty awesome device, so go check out what they got, the Lawnmower 3.0, the Weed Whacker, and more. It's a great gift for Father's Day, birthdays, weddings, anything. So yeah, head over there and use promo code SNOBS, S-N-O-B-S, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping. Also, we'd like to thank our super fan patrons. They are all Scene Snob family to us. They support us every month, and you can be one too. So head over to the Patreon channel, the Scene Snobs, and you can, it's $5 a month, and you can join in with helping support us and get the free perks too. Also, you can follow us on social media. We are on everything at the Scene Snob, so Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We are on Facebook, the Scene Snobs. Everywhere. We have fun stuff always going on, always have contests and stuff, so go follow us, check us out. You can go to our link tree by going to thescenesnobs.com. There's our link tree, there's our patron, there is our all of our shows and the links for all of that, so thanks again for checking it out. Just head over to thescenesnobs.com where everything is, and we will talk to you soon.